Welcome to the Mary Gostolo Girl Ahead podcast, the weekly unique insight into luxury hospitality around the world by those who know it best. Produced by Allmont Global and in partnership with Forbes Travel Guide.
My guest this week is Kostas Kriest, the world-renowned environmentalist and hospitality professional. He runs Kostas Kriest Associates, and he is also the CEO of Beyond Green Travel, the company that was recently purchased by the Preferred Hotel Group, so it's got the full power now of the Uberoth family to take it forward and onwards as the world of luxury hotels and those who run their hotels and those who want to stay in them realize the importance of thinking about the planet and thinking about the community to make luxury travel work. Kostas, over to you. Kostas, why should hotels, in other words, the owners and the financiers and the operators at every level and the customers who stay in them, why should they take sustainability seriously?
Well, I think we can look at it a couple of ways. For one, personally, you know, I wish that every business owner in the world, every hotel owner, every travel industry owner in the world woke up each morning thinking, what can I do to help somebody in need? What can I do to help our planet in terms of protecting it, climate change, biodiversity loss, and so on? Okay, what can I do to address poverty alleviation? But even if they don't wake up in the morning saying that, and they wake up instead saying, what can I do and what do I need to do to ensure my business is growing, to ensure my shareholders are happy, then they need to have sustainability on their radar. Because the travel industry now is in a dramatic transformation, and I think it has been further crystallized by the pandemic itself, to understand the notion that we can never have personal health and well-being without planetary health and well-being. And the truth is, the future of business success, and this isn't a kind of myopic view or a wishful or aspirational view, it is anchored in fact. The future of business success in the travel industry will be increasingly tied to sustainable tourism best practices.
Are you seeing this led by millennials and others of a younger generation, or are older people who traditionally have always been ignorant of much of what sustainability is all about, are they joining the movement too?
Well, Mary, what I would say there is, if we think about it for a moment and start with the baby boomers, the generation that gave birth to Earth Day in 1973, the generation that talked about going back to the land, counterculture, and everything we identify with the early baby boomers, this was the generation that also gave birth to the concepts of sustainability and ecotourism, for example. But what's happened now, and not surprisingly, is that the younger generation, the millennials, Gen Z, are coming up and they're saying, we need to take this further. We need to be bolder. We need to have a world in which we can survive in such a way that we replenish and restore and regenerate nature, that we protect the future of our planet from climate change.
Supposing I had a hotel and I'm watching every penny, every cent, how much is it going to cost me to be more environmentally aware? And how much money am I going to make from it through increased interest from guests?
Okay, well, first of all, you know, and you know me, I've been at this for quite some time. I can tell you that when I work with a hotel and walk through a property, right off the bat, there's what we call the low-hanging fruit. Without a hotel having to spend even a penny per se, there are immediate actions that they can take to make themselves more sustainable, meaning those are the low-hanging fruit.
Okay, then, such as what, dear Costas? Give me some examples.
For example, right now, reducing energy usage just by being more conscientious, making sure that doors aren't left open and air conditioning is just running wild. You and I have been to Las Vegas at events on a number of occasions. It pains me to see big doors with air conditioning just left wide open when the temperature outside's over 30 degrees centigrade or above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. They can operate in a way to be much more efficient just by teaching staff to turn off lights behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and helping to take steps for basic water conservation in terms of how we do simple things to make a property more sustainable.
This is an excellent point to ask you about Beyond Green travel. You're working with the Uberoths and Preferred Hotel Group on this marvelous new initiative, which is so fantastic. You are verifying properties around the world as certified. How many standards do they have to go through before a property is verified by you?
Well, the first step is we look for them to be active in the three key pillars of sustainable tourism. The first one, environmentally friendly practices. That's the reduce, reuse, recycle aspect. So for example, for a hotel to be considered for membership in Beyond Green, which I need to emphasize is sustainable tourism leadership level. This is the master level of sustainable tourism. They will have already or successfully eliminated, for example, plastic water bottles from their property. That's an example in that first pillar of environmentally friendly practices. The second pillar, support for the protection of cultural and natural heritage. We would look for a hotel to demonstrate at least one activity in each of those areas. And the third pillar, which is support for the economic and social well-being of local people. So we would look for an example there. That's what gets you to application stage, Mary. And then we work with the hotel and we review over 50 sustainability indicators that are positioning a hotel at leadership level, and that will come into play as well. But we want hotels to be active in those three foundational pillars of sustainable tourism best practice.
It sounds as though you're absolutely, Costas, in the right place at the right time. You have, within the first list of people who have signed their properties up to Beyond Green, you have safari lodges, you have a beautiful castle in Ireland, in the country. Is it easier for rural properties and for resorts to get on board than a center city hotel, would you say?
No, in fact, it's interesting because a lot of the rural hotels will often say, oh, it's so much easier for a center city hotel to be sustainable than it is for us in the middle of the boondocks, as they say, in the most remote areas. For example, a center city hotel could have access to easy recycling mechanisms that are in an urban area that you might not find 200 miles away in the middle of the African bush. So the truth of the matter is, the good news, Mary, is today it is easy for any hotel, rural or urban, to be more sustainable. And Beyond Green, our portfolio of sustainable leading properties around the world, embraces both urban and rural as well.
It's fascinating that when you were in the Peace Corps a few years ago, you worked both in Central America and also in Southern Africa. Was that what really inspired you to get into this amazing role in life, Costas?
Well, actually, it's a little bit deeper than that, Mary. So I was tapped under the Clinton administration as an appointee to be the Peace Corps country director in Uganda after the civil war in Uganda to help rebuild Uganda's Western National Parks based on the principles of sustainability. And then thereafter, I was asked to do the same in Central America as the country director for the small country of Belize. The roots of my interest and the ideas around sustainable tourism and, of course, ecotourism, defined as responsible travel to natural areas that protects nature and sustains the well-being of local people, actually goes back to the late 1970s when I was a wildlife field researcher in Africa and began to question the model of tourism and believed we needed a different vision for how the tourism industry operated.
Now, that's really interesting. We are talking over-tourism, which is a phrase that was not commonplace until 2 or 3 years ago. But you are implying that when you were researching this, you were already thinking, do we need tourism in the way that it had been going on and in the way that it was looking set to continue? How do you feel about tourism in general now, Costas?
I'm encouraged by the fact that more and more of the travel industry is beginning to understand that they have a responsibility to give back and protect the very places that travelers go to see. Mary, today, unlike any time before in human history, we have more places to go and more ways to get there than ever. And what that means is that literally, there is no place on our planet anymore that travelers and tourists cannot access. And with that comes a greater responsibility. So it's not just a question of tourism seeing itself as separate from the destinations it visits, or that it's only there for the business focus. This is an industry that relies on selling nature and culture at its core. And that is the product that tourism sells. And so the industry has a direct responsibility to protect nature, support the well-being of local people, and celebrate and support the preservation of cultural heritage and diversity around the world.
It does seem possibly that tourism as an industry is becoming so politically inbuilt that the various tourism bodies are perhaps spending a lot of time on wondering who's going to be the next CEO and why this one particular industry should be more important than another one. Do you think that there is enough cooperation between the various sectors in tourism? Because to me, tourism is travel, tourism is hospitality, tourism is all the people. Over 1 in 9 of all the people employed around the world are in some forms of tourism. What can we do to make that whole nebulous industry more cohesive and positive, Costas?
By adopting the global standards for sustainable tourism best practice, Mary, we have the tools today. We have the ways and the means for tourism to be a catalyst that helps to protect our planet, that gives us the joy of the vacation of a lifetime, that invests in and empowers local people, helping to lift them out of poverty. We need to move away from the platitudes of tourism employs 1 out of 9 and tourism's responsible for over 10% of GDP. That's all great. But the question is, how is it practiced? And we, and I know you, and I bet every one of your listeners out there will be able to say to themselves that they have been the places that made them cringe, that maybe they had visited decades before and felt heartbroken to see what had happened by tourism out of control. Sustainable tourism best practice is the antidote to that. We have the tools to make sure that doesn't happen and to ensure that tourism rises to the challenge to its full potential to be a catalyst for doing good in the world.
Of course, instantly coming to mind are all the poor destinations that are always mentioned going around the world. Machu Picchu, Amsterdam, Venice, Angkor Wat. Now, if we'd been having this conversation 5 years ago, it would not have been possible for the authorities in many of those places to be able to ration the number of visitors. Now, using digital and various other forms of modern technology, they can do it. Looking forward 5 years, what do you think will come into life that will make the respect for sustainable tourism and the operation thereof even easier? How will digital and AI help what you and other sustainable tourist disciples are doing?
Well, we're seeing some dramatic steps forward in terms of technology on a lot of different levels. For example, whereas once upon a time, solar energy and renewable energy resources were far flung or very difficult or extremely costly, they have become much more accessible today than ever before. We are on a threshold now, and this is represented by the concepts of almost a great green leap forward that will allow businesses to operate in a way that is much, much more positive for the planet. And when it comes to business operations, in terms of how they connect with and ensure that tourism delivers on its promise to uplift people's lives, we now have those standards in place too. The irony here, Mary, is we have the map to a better and brighter future of tourism. The question is, are we going to follow it and will we walk that journey? That's the challenge for every CEO in the world of tourism today. And I would just say that the train of sustainable tourism has left the station, and those businesses that embrace it will be the leaders in a new travel industry of tomorrow.
Thank you, Kostas. You're not only inspirational, you're such an enthusiast and a dear friend. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I always learn so much from you. And I shall learn too from my guest next week, when I shall be talking to Christoph Maris, the COO of the Mandarin Oriental Hotel Group. He is a longtime hotelier. He knows all the inside outs of giving a product that the consumer really wants. So please join me next week to join my chat with Christoph Maris. See you then.
You've been listening to the Mary Gostolo Girl Ahead podcast, produced by Allmont Global and in partnership with Forbes Travel Guide. Join us next week for another exciting insight into the world of luxury travel. And don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about the show.